A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "In praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is how you are to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive men their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your transgressions." The Gospel of the Lord. Last November, Pope Benedict published his apostolic exhortation on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the Church. In the first section, he talked about the power of the Word of God. What, or more specifically, who the Word of God is in of himself. Second section is the response that's supposed to occur to us because of the Word of God. And then third is how it's supposed to change everything that we in the Church do. But in that second part, there's a small little section in which Pope Benedict says to train us how to respond to the Word of God, God actually gives us his own words. He specifically mentions the Psalms, in which every possible human emotion is seen, so that we don't have to go before the Lord in prayer wordless. We don't have to be nervous. God himself plants within us his words so that we can talk to him, so that his words become our words. And more, the more we internalize those words, our words become his words. And that's the way we begin to live out our mission, not just to hear the word of God, not just to put that word into practice, but to spread that word to others. That great harmony that comes when we hear God's word, it becomes our own word, and then our own word becomes God's word. That's what today's readings are about in two very essential ways. The book of the prophet Isaiah says, "Just as from the heaven the rains and snow come down and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." That power of the Word of God is something we need to focus on every once in a while. At the beginning of time, God said, "Let there be light." And all of a sudden, boom, there was light. "Let there be a separation between the day and the night," and there was. "Let there be a sun and a moon," and there was. "Let there be vegetation across the world," there was. "Let there be animals and fish, and even us," and there was. That's the power of the Word of God. We see it clearly in the Gospel when Jesus says, "I do will it be cured." The man was cured. We see it in the Gospel when Jesus expels demons and they're gone. We see it in the Gospel when Jesus preached and everybody was amazed, saying, "He teaches with an authority unlike the scribes and the Pharisees." The greatest illustration of all of the power of the word and how it is effectual, how it does God's will, is in Jesus, the Word made flesh, who didn't return to heaven void, but achieved the end for which God the Father had sent him. This is the power of the Word of God. There is one exception, though. And we see it in Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed. That a sower goes out to sow seed. The sower is God. The seed is that powerful word with all the power to bear abundant fruit. But because God made us free, it doesn't necessarily bear the fruit for which it was intended. Those four types of soil: the hardened soil that doesn't want to change, the superficial soil that is just looking maybe for a little bit of joy but doesn't really want to act on it, the thorny soil in which the full power of the seed doesn't be seen because worldly cares and anxieties, thorns, choke the growth of the seed of the Word of God. When people are so much more worried about their own horizontal issues than they are confident in the power of God. But the fourth soil bears not just a little fruit, but 30, 60, and 100-fold abundant fruit. That's what God's Word is supposed to do in our life. But we also need to check our soil sample. And Lent is the time for us to take that soil sample and ask, am I hardened soil? Do I already think I know it all? Do I think I don't have to change? Do I think that all I need in Lent is a slight course correction? I'm a 99 Christian. God just needs to give me a little push for me to cross over and become totally perfect. Do we think all we need is a slight course correction or a major revolution? Second type of soil, that superficial soil, am I only sort of going through one consolation to another? Or am I deep? Does the Word of God, do I allow it to get down and really change me? What are my cares and anxieties that will choke the Word of God? Is it a broken heart or a broken relationship? Is it the disappointments over the fact that I'm a finite human being? Is it my concern for my kids? Is it my concern for the world or economic stuff or whatever? Is it choking the power of the Word of God in me so that I'm bearing maybe one fruit or two rather than exploding with fecundity? In the gospel today, Jesus gives us his own word that becomes our word, and then our word becomes God's word. When he teaches us how to pray, he puts words into the soil of our heart. And these words are not just to give us a magic formula. These words are to train our desires to ask for what's most important. And if we really allow this word to hit good soil in us, it will bear tremendous fruit. We turn to our Father in heaven with love, recognizing he's not just my Father, but our Father, that we're real brothers and sisters, and that I'm praying not just for myself, but for us all. First request, may your name be hallowed. His holy name already is hallowed, but what we're praying for is may it be hallowed in me. May others seeing me recognize that I'm not just Roger, I'm not just a Landry, but I am in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I live in that name. I act in that name. Hallowed be your name. May some see the glory and the holiness of your name and those who act in your name, who make that sign entering into your name. Thy will be done, not mine. And what will occur if your will be done? Your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will be fully in me. I won't be making my own kingdom. I'll be making yours. Give us today our daily bread. We're asking not for stuff for the rest of our life, but to grow and trust in God's providence. Today he will give us precisely what we need. And that daily bread, the word in Greek, as I've mentioned before, is epiousios, which means literally super substantial bread, which doesn't mean some Portuguese rolls, some popsicles that we'll have later today. It means the bread that gives us more than what we need for our substance, the living bread come down from heaven. That's what we're asking for, which is so much more important than what Lydia's will be able to give us. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven others. Help us not to succumb when we're tempted, and keep us away from the evil one. This is exactly what God wants to give us. Today, as we prepare to pray that prayer as a family, let us ask the Lord to water us with his word, so that just like we have adopted the words of the Our Father and use it as our supreme way to communicate to the Lord, we may do so with all the words he has poured down from heaven, so that they will not be ineffectual, but transport us and, united with the word, return to heaven, having achieved the end for which God sent it to you and to me. Praise be Jesus Christ.